words of Jesus from John 10, when Jesus said, "The thief only comes to steal and kill and to destroy, but I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." And we get a real clear illustration of this in Mark chapter 5 in the story of a demon-possessed man that we call Legion. So if you want to turn to Mark 5, I didn't put all the verses on the screen today. I'm going to read this account here in just a minute. But we get this picture of what it means, and I'm going to refer to the man as Legion, whether because that way we can distinguish between, I can stop calling him the demoniac. We'll call him Legion, and the demons we're going to leave unnamed, all right? So we'll just do it that way. When we talk about demonic possession in the Bible, we're talking about demonic forces that usually have some kind of physical control over a person. And I know some would say, well, come on, it's 2021. Do you really expect us to believe in a literal devil or literal demons? And my response is, well, look around at the world we live in. It's pretty obvious that there's some kind of malevolent forces and real evil in the world. Regardless of what you think, when you look around the world, where we look is to the Word of God. And what we find is the Bible teaches there is a real entity, a real devil, and real demons, evil spirits that torment and bring terror and chaos into the world. Can Christians be demon-possessed? We say no. The reason you can't be possessed by the Holy Spirit and possessed by a demon at the same time. Can Christians be oppressed or tormented by the devil? Well, I think the biblical answer is yes, because Paul mentions that a messenger of Satan was sent to torment him. But at the same time, it was in that moment that the Lord reminded Paul that his grace was sufficient. God's grace was sufficient for him, and that in Paul's weakness, God's strength would be manifested. And so the devil is real. He's come to steal and kill and to destroy. But Jesus said that I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. We don't have to fear the devil, for the Bible tells us we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, through him who loved us and who has given us the victory. All authority belongs to Jesus, all right? So this is not Star Wars. This is not some kind of dark forces and light forces, and they're just about equal and they're having to battle it out and see who's going to win. At the end of all this, Jesus is going to speak the word and the devil is going to be bound and cast into the lake of fire, and it'll all happen at the word. So we know who's going to win. These aren't equal opposing forces. All authority under heaven and earth is given to Jesus. So we don't have to fear the devil, but we need to be aware that he is at work and out doing sinister devil kind of things, because that's what he does. So how did this man in Mark chapter 5 become possessed by demons? We don't know. Somehow, at some point in time, he must have opened his heart and life to demonic powers and demonic influence. I don't think it happens by accident. So just so you know, you can't accidentally become possessed by the devil. You just watched a weird movie and, well, I got demons or whatever. I don't think it works that way. And used to a generation or three or four before in Pentecost, there were times when they'd say, we're going to cast a devil out of somebody, and they would tell people, now you need to bow your head and close your eyes. And it was always this thing like, because you don't want demons getting in you. And I'm sort of not old enough to remember that, but I can remember being in a couple of services where something was kind of going on, and it was that kind of feeling. And then it's like, if you just like lift like one eye, if you're just looking out, I think there's a chance. Get a little bit of a demon in there or whatever. So I've heard old-time guys talk about that, like, boy, I was over there and I always thought, I may have got something on me because I looked up at the wrong time or whatever. I don't believe it works that way, all right? You're not accidentally becoming possessed by the devil. In fact, the Bible gives us a very balanced view. And so demons are real, but the Bible doesn't make it sound like there are demons behind every bush or in every human flaw or characteristic. There were some physical evidence. There were times when something was identified as a demonic kind of spirit that caused someone to be unable to speak or to hear. Or remember the boy who was thrown into the fire that kind of thing because of a demonic spirit. But that wasn't always the case. So not everything, not every illness demons were behind. Remember the man born blind, they said, so who's responsible for this? And Jesus said, this was so the glory of God could be seen. Had nothing to do with demonic forces or whatever. And so there's a balanced view given us in the scripture. And the problem is some people blame as demonic what is really just simple human vices or cravings of the flesh or whatever, like, well, you know, a demon of gluttony or whatever. Well, that it may just be you just eat ice cream three times a day or whatever. Maybe demons don't have anything to do with that. So why I brought gluttony up, but anyway, I did. We'll let that go. What we know for sure is that from Mark chapter 5, this man was demon-possessed. He was physically controlled by demonic forces that left him bound and broken and enslaved to the devil, harmful to himself and to those around him. And when he meets Jesus, then everything changes. And so I want to just read this account beginning in verse 1 of Mark chapter 5. I called this legion an expose because when we look at his story, there are some things that are going to be exposed about the devil and about the town and about Jesus. And so it just seemed to fit for me. So again, we're going to refer to the man as legion to distinguish him from the demons. Mark chapter 5 verse 1 says, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. Some manuscripts say Gadarenes, and so either way, we're on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, which Mark refers to as the lake. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. There are caves on that eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, and some believe that he was living among the caves, and those were tombs as well up on that eastern side. He had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." And then Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied. And then this odd phrase, "For we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. So it's almost as though the man responded and then the demons responded through him, "We are many." A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside, and the demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and then went into the pigs, and the herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. And those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. And then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. And as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus didn't let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. The Decapolis was 10 Roman cities, Gentile cities, that kind of rounded the eastern and southern ends of the Sea of Galilee. So he went to these 10 Gentile cities to begin to tell people about Jesus. So first of all, let me ask, can we find ourselves anywhere in Legion's story? And I'm not suggesting that anyone here is demon-possessed or that anyone watching online today, that may not be the case. I don't want to heap extra problems on you. And the pastor thinks I'm demon-possessed. So, but I'm just asking, can we find ourselves in the desperation of this man and his condition? So consider this. He was more dead than alive in a lot of ways. He was literally living among the dead in the tombs. And again, there were likely caves on the hillside. But everything about this man identified more with death than with life. To the Jews, he would be considered unclean because not only was he living among the dead in the cemetery or among the tombs, he was also living among swine. Pigs were unclean animals. And then to add to that, he's treated like an animal by the people of the town. And they had no doubt done it for their own safety because he was crazy and screaming and maybe threatening to all of them, but they had chained him hand and foot and had often tried to subdue him. And the Bible says, and apparently just kind of supernatural kind of strength from the effect of the demons or whatever, he could literally break the chains and tear the shackles off to set himself free. But he was treated like an animal by these folk. The passage literally reads, no one was able to tame him. So he was living and acting like a wild animal, and they were treating him that way, just trying to tame him. They had perhaps not only chained him, but had whipped and beaten him, maybe literally trying to beat the devil out of him and to tame him. He'd been physically bound, chained, restrained, but more significantly, he was spiritually bound by the devil, a slave to these demonic spirits and the voices and the thoughts and actions that were controlling and influencing him 24 hours a day. He was a threat to himself and to others. He was isolated, an outcast from family, from society. He was alone, estranged from everyone that loved him and cared about him. He had a family, as Jesus referred to in verse 19, but he couldn't be around his family. And just imagine the pain that he and his family had experienced in all of this, that they couldn't afford to let him be in the home with them, or he had just worn out his welcome because of all the odd behavior and cruel things that he had done. He was being pulled apart by an inward spiritual battle, and while perhaps we can't identify with demons controlling us, and I pray that's the case, but we can identify maybe with something that Eugene Lowry wrote in paraphrasing the demoniac's response to Jesus, that he said, I feel like 6,000 soldiers inside me, and a legion is 6,000. I feel like 6,000 soldiers inside me. Sometimes they all march left, sometimes right, sometimes in all different directions. I'm pulled one way, then another. There's an army inside me, and I think I'm losing the war. Maybe you can relate to that kind of just being torn and that kind of confusion in your soul, your spirit, and in your mind. Unstable, cutting himself, harming himself, desperate in every way. And you're not demon-possessed, but maybe you can identify with some of what this man that we know as Legion was experiencing. Maybe you feel more dead than alive today in your spirit, or you wish you were dead, and you feel unclean because of your past or the way you're living right now, how you're living your life, and you know it's not pleasing to God. You feel misunderstood or mistreated. You've been abused by others. You've bound and trapped, isolated. You feel cut off or outcast from family, unwanted, estranged from family members and friends, or pulled apart by that conflicting thoughts and desires in your life. You can't figure out who you are. There's questions about your sexual choice or a gender or a sexual expression or whatever it might be, and it just feels like you're being torn apart, or you're acting in harmful ways to yourself or to someone else. It's like your whole life is in a storm, and an internal storm especially. Then you know something of how this man felt. And is there any hope for you? No one thought there was any hope for Legion. The whole town gave up on him. His family and friends had written him off. They had to. But then Jesus shows up, and everything changes. Look what happens when Jesus shows up. My word to you is, don't give up. There's hope for you because Jesus is on the scene. So look at what is exposed then when Jesus comes. Jesus exposed the lies of the enemy. First thing that happens when Jesus encounters Legion, he just gets off the boat, steps on the shore, and when Legion saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him, shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And then this line, "Swear to God you won't torture me." The demons had convinced, maybe the demons themselves were convinced, and they had somehow convinced Legion himself that Jesus wanted to torture him. In what world and where have you ever had the sense that Jesus wanted to torment and torture anybody, right? I mean, you may not believe in Jesus, but you've heard he was a good man, a good teacher, a philosopher, that he was willing to die for other people, right? I mean, we've heard all that. Has anybody anywhere on any planet ever said, you got to watch out for that Jesus, he'll torture you? But that's what they believed. That's what this man's convinced of. That's what the demons believe. And so they're convinced that Jesus is going to mistreat him like everybody else, that he wants to inflict pain. It's the lie the devil's been telling from the beginning in the garden. God is going to cheat you. God's going to hurt you. God's going to deny you what's best for you. He's going to steal from you. You can't trust him. You just can't rely on him. It was all a lie. Because the devil has come to kill and steal and to destroy. It's Jesus that's come to give life. Jesus came to seek and to save. Demons torment and enslave. Demons torture and torment. Jesus comforts and liberates. It's the demons that deceive. Jesus said Satan is the father of lies and the truth has never been found in him. But Jesus is the truth. Demons blind, Jesus gives sight to the blind. The demons in Legion were about to learn the truth as the lies of the enemy are exposed by this encounter with Jesus. Listen, let me just tell you, if the devil's deceived you and convinced you that Jesus is out to harm you or torment you, let me set the record straight. Jesus hasn't come to harm you. He's come to give you life and to give you hope and to give you a future. And if you surrender your life to him, you can discover what it means to be a soul set free. What a difference Jesus makes. I mean, look at the contrast between those opening verses, verse 3 through 5, and then verse 15. He goes from being chained and bound and naked and harming himself and screaming night and day, running through the tombs and all that, to being clothed and sitting there dressed and in his right mind, sitting with Jesus. I'm talking about darkness to light, death to life. It's the difference that Jesus makes when we have a true encounter with him. But what's exposed in all this? Well, first of all, Jesus exposed the true nature of the enemy. And it's always been interesting to me, at least the story to me, that the demons begged Jesus not to send them out of the area. Apparently they were territorial. This was where they wanted to be. Maybe it was because it was a Gentile area. There was a lot of maybe spiritism. They believed in all kinds of gods. They were open to a little bit of anything and everything on that side. And so, hey, we're open to this. So maybe the demons just thought, hey, we've got plenty of opportunity over here to control and to cause chaos. But for whatever reason, they asked Jesus, they begged him, don't send us out of the area. And apparently, demons need a host. They need something or someone to inhabit. And so they asked to enter the pigs, wanting to stay in the area, needing a host to inhabit. But as soon as they enter the pigs, they stampede them into the sea where they're all drowned. They killed their host. The very thing they wanted to avoid happened. Why? Because they couldn't help themselves. The demons couldn't help but destroy and kill, even if it meant their own destruction or losing the bodies they wanted to inhabit, because that's what demons do. That's their nature. It's to kill and to destroy. You know, I've told you a dozen times over the years, but that old story about a scorpion that needs to get across a river, and there's a frog there, and the scorpion says to the frog, would you carry me across the river on your back? And the frog says, no, because you're a scorpion, you'll sting me and I'll die. And the scorpion argues with him and says, what, that'd be foolish. I'm not going to sting you. I can't swim. If we get halfway across the river and I sting you, then we're both going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to drown. That just doesn't make sense. I wouldn't do that. Trust me on this. I promise you, if you'll just give me a ride across, everything will be fine. I'll hop off and we're even. And so against his better judgment, the frog says, climb on. They get halfway across the river and the scorpion stings him. And the frog kind of looks up and says, why did you do it? We're both going to die. And the scorpion said, because I'm a scorpion. It's my nature. This is what I do. This is what I do. And friends, I'm going to tell you, that's why the pigs had to die. That's what's going on, because demons are going to do what demons are going to do. Why would Jesus allow them to go into the pigs? I think it was to publicly expose the true nature of the enemy. If there was any doubt by the people about whether the man was really delivered or whether he's still dangerous, like, well, he may be clothed, he may look like he's normal now, but I don't know if we can trust him. You know how crazy he can be. And Jesus said, look, the demons are gone from the man. They're gone into the pigs, and look what happened. It wasn't the man that was destructive or dangerous. It was the demons that were controlling him. By their very nature, they're destructive and they're killers. They're not there. They went into the pigs, and they did to the pigs exactly what we said they were going to do. They killed them. because that's their nature. I think by sending the demons into the pigs and the people seeing the pigs go crazy and now they're floating in the Sea of Galilee, they see that the devil can't be trusted, and it's a lesson for us as well. It's the nature of demons to destroy and to kill to their own detriment. They can't help it. And I'm just going to tell you this morning, you can't bargain with the devil or with demons. They can't be trusted. You can't negotiate with them. Regardless of the bargain you made, well, you know, the devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. Even if he says, if he loses, he's giving you a fiddle of gold. Sorry, if you're not a Charlie Daniels fan, I can't help you on this one this morning. Even if he's made a deal and somehow you're thinking, well, I've got it. It's signed right here that if I do this, the devil's going to come through with this. Let me just tell you, it's not any good because you can't negotiate with the devil. You can't bargain with him. You can't trick him. You can't outsmart him. It just doesn't work that way. It's not possible. You're not getting away with anything. Why would he do that? Hey, it's who he is. This is how he rolls. And Jesus exposes the true nature of the enemy. He'll always destroy. He's always going to kill. That's what he's come to do. And then Jesus exposed the values of the townspeople. Those caring for the pigs ran to report what happened. And the people from town, notice this, they didn't come running because they heard the demoniac had been delivered. Hey, did you hear? Legion, he's dressed and in his right mind. Man, a miracle's happened. Let's go see. They weren't coming to see the miracle of this wild man that had been set free. They weren't coming to see the miracle worker. Hey, if he could do that, maybe he could do something for us. You know why they came? Because the pigs had been drowned. And their livelihood and their income had been not just affected, it was floating. They opened a devil ham factory there where's a drummer when you need one? A rim shot, whatever. Right there. If you were in Sunday school in here, you heard Roy Hood say, if Pastor can do the devil ham joke, he was talking about Jesus and the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, and you know where Jesus took his guys for dinner? Olive Garden. So we got that one for us. Dad jokes at Carbondale. All right. I want to cut the townspeople of Gadara or Gerizim or wherever. We'll cut them a little slack this morning. Because dealing with Legion had been no small thing for the people, I'm sure. But then on the other hand, it appears that rather than really trying to help this guy, they had just been trying to restrain him. I mean, it's kind of what we do, you know. We don't typically rush to help people in that shape. We just see if we can't outrun them. You know, if you've ever had somebody, I remember standing in New York City waiting to get across, and a guy was just screaming and yelling profanities and stuff. He was just screaming at anybody. It was just that the three or four of us happened to be in front of him. So he's just blowing at us or whatever. Like, what in the world, you know? And so my nature is not to say, hey, let me see if we can get you in a shelter and get you some help. My nature is to go, which direction is that guy going? Is he crossing the street this way? Because we want to go the other way because we want to get away from this guy, right? That's kind of what we do. So I understand they didn't know what to do maybe, but nobody tried to save him. And look, after Jesus set him free and they found him clothed instead of naked and no longer cutting himself and no longer running among the tombs, and he's sitting with Jesus and in his right mind and restored and healed and whole, the response of the people was not celebration and rejoicing over his deliverance, but fear. They heard the whole story about Legion and the demons and the pigs, and then they politely asked Jesus to get back in his boat and leave their region. They were afraid of the man who had power to cast out demons and deliver people. Maybe they were afraid of what else he might say or do. And maybe it seemed they would rather have their pigs than to have the demoniac delivered. They chose money and a healthy economy in their city and possessions over Legion. A healthy economy over Jesus and miracles. They prefer pigs over people and pigs over Jesus. And the question then for us is, if Jesus, I know he's here by his Holy Spirit this morning, but if Jesus physically, bodily walked into our home or into the sanctuary this morning and started teaching and working miracles and exposing things, I wonder what might be exposed in us and in our preferences and in our priorities and our values as a church or as individuals or as a city. I wonder if we might be more like the townspeople than we care to admit. We care more about our economy than we do the people. We care more about having money and comfort than we do helping the people. I'm just asking. Maybe we prefer the status quo to the miracles of Jesus. And who knows what Jesus might have had in store for the people in the Gerizims if they had just said, "Man, this is wonderful. We've been worried about Legion for years and nobody's been able to help him. And now you've come and now we're open to whatever you want to do. You've delivered him. We don't care about the pigs. We care about Legion because I know another guy that's kind of desperate like him and he needs your help. Can you come to my house? Because we need this too. Well, I know we're out of business now and I know, but you know what? Jesus could have produced bread and fish for everybody, right? There's a lake there. There's really good tilapia. They're going to be able to eat. But what's important is, can you find Jesus in the midst of all this? But they ask him to leave. And Jesus did. He got in the boat and left. And here's the last thing. Jesus exposed his nature. Stop and think about Jesus' love for one man. Maybe he came for the whole community and they ran him off. But Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee for one man to liberate and set Legion free. This was, again, a Gentile region. Legion may have himself been a Gentile. But Jesus came to seek and to save the lost and to set the captive free, and that included Legion, and it includes us today. And he came to the outcast and the broken and isolated and the unclean. He came for those who are not in their right mind. He came for those who are more dead than alive. He came for the mistreated and the misunderstood and the bound and those that are being pulled apart by inward battles. He came for the grieving and the desperate and the unloved and the unlovely. And while the devil came to kill and steal and to destroy because that's his nature, Jesus came to liberate and to rescue and to forgive and to save and to restore and to heal, friends, because that is his nature. That's who he is. Exodus 33, Moses says, "But I don't know your name. I don't know what to tell people." And God says to him, "Get over here in the cleft of this rock and I'll cover you there. And I'm going to cause my glory, my nature, to pass before you. And I'll proclaim my name to you." And when he did, the name and the nature of God that he revealed was this: the Lord, compassionate, gracious, full of loving kindness, with mercy abounding to 1,000 generations of those who love him and call upon him. That's the nature of our Father. That's the nature of Jesus. That's what he shows us. And that's why he didn't leave when Legion screamed at the top of his lungs, "What do you want with me? Swear to God you won't torment me." What did he want with him? He wanted him to be free. "What do you want with me, God?" Maybe some of you are at that place this morning. "What do you want with me? I want you to be free. I want you to experience mercy and grace and wholeness instead of the brokenness and division that's happening in your mind and in your heart and your personality. I want you to experience wholeness, and then I want you to go and tell everybody else what the Lord has done for you." Jesus often said, "Come follow me," but to this man who begged to be allowed to follow him and to go with him, Jesus said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis and all those 10 cities how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Go home and tell. And that can be the toughest assignment, the hardest call of discipleship. Go home and influence your family and friends, those who know you best. Go tell them, show them what the Lord has done. Show them and tell them how the Lord has had mercy on you. Legion had burned every bridge, spoiled every relationship, and yet Jesus says, "Now that I've set you free, go home and tell them what the Lord has done." You see, God's mercy can not only set captives free, it can heal and repair relationships and give the broken a brand new start. Somebody said to me after service, "Remember when Jesus appeared to his disciples in the upper room and they didn't believe it was him?" No, it's me. Look, and he showed them the scars in his hands and in his feet and in his side, and they believed. And she said, I wonder if when that guy went home, he said, hey, it's me. And they said, no, it's not. It's not you. Because we know last time we saw our son, our husband, our dad, Legion, he was out of his mind and cutting himself and naked and screaming. And Legion says, see where the chains were? You see the chains around my leg? See the chain around my neck? See the lashes on my back? The scars are still there. But I'm a new man on the inside because I met Jesus and he's changed everything. It really is you. It really is you. I'm here to tell you. That young lady from India, are you the same person? Oh, yeah, I'm still the same on the outside. But when she got home to that Hindu family, but Jesus has changed everything on the inside. That's who I used to be. But now I got a new heart, a new vision. I see things a little differently because I've met Jesus. My sin's been forgiven. I want to tell you what he's done for me. You're here this morning. You're watching online. And the devil's lied to you and deceived you. He's tricked you and broken you, and you believed his lies, and now you feel like he's taken you so far from where you know you're supposed to be, and you just don't see that there's any way back. You're saying it's too desperate. I'm guessing that as desperate as your situation is today, it's not as desperate as Legion's was. I'm guessing that right now because, not for you watching online, but everybody here, you got your clothes on, and so... We're one step ahead of Legion. God bless you at home. Go ahead and type in there, clothes. So it may not be as bad as Legion, but what I'm telling you is it may be desperate. You may feel that way. Feel like I can't go home. There's no way back. I think that's what Legion felt until he met Jesus. And after Jesus touched him, after he repented, after he gave his heart and life to Jesus, he surrendered to him, Jesus could say, now go home. I can't. I burned all the bridges. No, you can go home. Go home and tell them what the Lord has done for you. Show them the scars. Show them the chains. But show them the change as you live out your life for Jesus. What a difference he'll make for all of us. Listen, you can get there from here this morning, but first you have to come to Jesus and have an encounter with him. He'll change you. He'll liberate you. He'll deliver you. He'll set you free. He'll give you a new life, a new hope. He'll give you a future. He can put all the pieces back together as you give yourself to him. Let's pray today. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the hope that we find in Christ. I thank you, Lord, that you can take us from despair and just hopelessness like Legion in Mark 5. And with one encounter with Jesus, you can set us free. You can forgive our sin. You can restore our mind. You can put the pieces of broken lives back together if we offer ourselves to you. Lord Jesus, that's what we're going to choose to do today. You may need somebody to just pray with you this morning in this decision that I'm asking you to make. And if so, you can just slip out and come and kneel or stand here at the front. There are people that want to pray for you. But I want to pray for you this morning, right where you are. And if you're here this morning and you would say that description of this guy in Mark 5, that sounds like me, or it sounds like someone that I love and that I've been praying for, then I want you to just slip your hand up so I know where you are. Thank you. Thank you. You say, that sounds like me or somebody I love. Thank you. I'm seeing hands go up everywhere. Thank you. It's me or somebody I love that feels that desperate this morning. And I want us to pray together this morning. Thank you. Thank you there in the back. I want us to pray together this morning. We're going to believe the Lord to bring deliverance for you or for someone you care about this morning, somebody you're praying for. Again, if you want to just slip to the front, you can kneel or stand here. We'll pray with you specifically this morning, but we're going to believe the Lord. You're watching online this morning for you or someone that you're praying for, someone you love needs deliverance today. We're going to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray right now for people in this auditorium that lifted their hand. that their life or that someone they love and care about is experiencing this kind of brokenness, this kind of oppression by the devil or possession, this kind of control where it feels like they're out of control and they can't find their way back. They're bound, maybe not by demonic things, but they're bound in addiction. They're bound in alcoholism or drug addiction. They're bound to sexual immorality or sin. They're bound in lifestyles that are not pleasing to you. They're confused about gender or sexual identity. They've embraced something and run away from God and run away from your better plan. They've been deceived and they've tried to bargain their way out with the enemy. And instead, Lord, what they're coming to realize is you can't bargain with the devil. He's always going to be true to his nature. He's always going to lie, and he's always going to try to kill and destroy and steal. But Jesus, you've come to give us life and freedom today, and we claim that in this house this morning for those we love in our household, our friends, our associates, our family, for those watching online today. We pray and ask for deliverance. We pray for victory over sin, over addiction. We command the enemy to take his hands off of God's people, God's property. We command the oppression to leave, the mental illness, the depression, the anxiety, the despair to go. And we believe for victory today in the hearts and lives of all who surrender themselves to you. Lord Jesus, come change us on the inside. Come change us and move us, Lord, from our brokenness to a position and place of health and wholeness in you. Lord Jesus, come do for us what you did for Legion on that shore of the Sea of Galilee that day. Lord, set us free and restore to us what the enemies tried to steal from us and from those that we love and care about. Lord, wherever they are, those we're praying for today, if they're on the other side of the world or if they're next door or if they're sitting beside us, Lord, we believe you today to bring victory into their lives. Speak it to them and make it plain and make it clear that they don't have to live in bondage, but instead they can walk in freedom, in holiness, and in wholeness with God through surrendering to Jesus Christ. Sir, let me tell you again, the path that you're on, the path that you're walking right now, it's going to lead to more brokenness. And you're allowing addiction. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you're allowing addiction to separate you from what's most valuable in your life. It's separating you from your spouse. It's separating you from your wife, from your children. You're becoming estranged because of some things in your life. I don't know who you are. Nobody's talked to me. I'm just telling you what I sense by the Holy Spirit this morning. The Lord's giving you an opportunity today. If you'll just confess and surrender to him, ask for his help. You say, well, I've done it before. Ask him again. Ask him again this morning and tell him, Lord, with your help, with your mercy at work in my life, I'm not going back to that sin. I recognize it's been exposed to me today for what it is. And it's corrupt, and it's going to destroy me and destroy my home, and I won't allow that to happen. And God, with your help today, with the grace of Jesus, I'm going to stand and I'll be strong in this. I'll not go back. I'll not give in to that sin, whatever it is, Lord. Whoever you are, something's resonating in your heart. It's like, oh, he's talking about me. He's talking about me. Don't push that away. Just surrender to Jesus. Let him do that work in your heart. Lord, be gracious to whoever we're talking to today, Lord. Let it be plain to them. That's me. And if Jesus is telling me that by the Holy Spirit, then there's hope for me. Then I can live a victorious life. Then I can live for him and not go back to sin. I can do this. He'll deliver and set you free. Let it be in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Would you stand together this morning? Thank you so much. I know we've gone a little long. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support for Tulsa Chi Alpha. Thanks for joining us online. Receive the blessing of the Lord this morning as you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace today and always. Amen and amen. Thanks again for being with us today. God bless you. Be friendly to one another. Don't forget to pick up your kids. We'll see you Wednesday night or next Sunday.